Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. This is Father God Darren Karp here with maybe a little puberty in my voice because I had just spilled seltzer all over this desk right before. And so I was a little frantic. So I have a little high-pitched voice.
Oh, okay. I was
And
like, where, how are we? Okay.
Mother God over here is John Thrasher. Yeah.
I was like, where are we? How are we connecting that? Not 100% sure, but I was gonna
Just
let you go with
would I
it.
ever leave you hanging? I'd never
No,
leave you
you're
hanging.
pretty good at this at this point. That's
I'd
true.
never leave you hanging. Well, obviously, you and I have a lot to catch up on. That's going to be an NMR this week. This week
So much
is
has happened, yeah.
so much has happened, and I would say that I watched The Crash 3 weeks ago, maybe. Is that a
That sounds
fair
about right.
assessment?
Yeah, that sounds about
3 weeks
right.
ago, John has finally decided that I was important in his life. Big decision on his part. Finally starting to respect women for pride, just in time for pride.
Oh, you know.
He's getting there,
Yeah.
and he decided to watch The Crash himself. And so I don't have any idea what he's going to say. Normally,
Ooh.
I ask him even before we
Yeah, we're
record,
usually
but I literally was like, don't
texting.
say anything. I usually text you, don't say anything. So I want to go through it finally. And I feel like a lot has happened even in that 3 weeks, just in the news and social media and the headlines that are coming out. Just yesterday, there was a headline. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Just yesterday, there was a headline about their phone conversations in prison and
Oh, I didn't
Mackenzie's
even see that.
girlfriends in prison and things like that. So we'll get to all of that at the end. But I
Okay.
just kind of want to review a little bit of the case and like what you
Yeah.
saw. So first things first, you remember the case.
Yeah, I do remember the case when it happened in 2022. I was working at A&E at the time, so we were doing a lot of true crime
Right.
podcast stuff. I was the supervising producer on Cold Case Files and some other true crime stuff. So it was on my radar, and at the time I remember being like, "Oh my God, another like horrific like accident." And then, like, you know, that I remember hearing about this case evolving, and then eventually they charged her, which we'll get into. And I'm like, God, the circumstances of this, how could they ever figure it out? So, this documentary, the Netflix documentary, we should say, because there are some other true crime television episodes out there. The Crash is what we're specifically going
Yes.
to touch on today.
The one that put it in the headlines again, I
Yeah,
think.
exactly. Yeah. And it was the number one, we should mention, the number one. Like not just documentary, but like show or movie or whatever on Netflix for like 2 weeks. So a lot of people have been watching this. And yes, so to answer your question, I did hear about this when it was happening. It kind of fell off of my radar, though, to be completely honest.
I forgot about it too. I remember reading headlines about it. You know, when I
Yeah.
watched, everyone had sort of just told me, like, oh, you absolutely need to watch. I think it was
Yeah,
around like my
same.
birthday or something. And so
Yeah.
I knew I had to give it a shot.
There were
Well,
also people in our Facebook group and messaging us, telling us we should watch it. So
I
that's
know that
helpful
they were
too.
begging you, being like, yes, John, get on this, which I like that
Yeah.
everyone now knows that you're the problem, not me.
Well, they're saying literally, they're like, by the way, it's just one episode. Don't worry.
Right.
Caitlin, I
And like,
know
it's a
Caitlin
full doc.
specific.
I mean, it's an hour and a half, but it is one
Yeah.
episode,
Yeah. One,
technically.
it's not a 9-part, 45-minute episode per episode series, which the Jinx and others are very much that. So, you know,
Right.
it is what it is. Yeah. So should we
So,
like kind of walk through like the case and like
yeah,
the,
because I think
yeah, let's
for
get
those who
to
haven't seen it, see it. But we're, I do feel like it's important to go through the details of the case as opposed to just talking about like the aftermath. But I think mostly we should
Right.
talk about like our feelings on it. So the crash examines the
Yeah.
July 31st, 2022 crash in Strongsville, Ohio, where 17-year-old Mackenzie Shirilla the Killa, as they call her,
Oh.
it's like her prison, like
Oh,
whatever
shit.
name, drove her car into a brick building at roughly 100 miles per hour, killing her boyfriend, Dominic Russo, Dom, and friend Davion Flanagan. One of the documentary's central questions is whether the crash was sort of this tragic accident,
Right.
a deliberate act of murder. And that's the thing too, is like there is footage of her doing this. So that's what's interesting about it. There's no question that she's guilty. There's no question she was driving the car. The question is purely intent in this case. So,
Can I mention
you know,
something on that while you're
yeah,
talking about it?
please.
Because when we talked to Vinnie Politan in our last full episode, by the way, go check that out. It was a great
Please, great
conversation.
conversation.
You guys had touched on it before I had watched the documentary yet, and you specifically were mentioning about how you see the footage on like the cameras in the neighborhood, and I think whatever that building was that it was ultimately
Like
crashed into.
CCTV, like it's,
Yeah.
you know, right,
And I
pieced
remember
together.
being like, oh, how will I don't know, that might freak me out. I'll just tell you right up front, Seeing a car drive that fast on a, by the way, on a video that's about what, 100 feet away for some of that footage, going that fast in a residential street freaked me out. And then you think about what, if you're actually there and see it, because I think there's a difference when you see it in a video versus in person. Like, you don't get the full grasp of how fast somebody goes when you're watching a video. I was like, oh my God, she was going so fast. This
Yeah,
wasn't
it's like,
65 or 70. It was
which still would have
100
been really
degrees.
fast. And
It was miles per hour.
I'm a fast driver, but every time I see
Oh.
someone driving way too fast on the highway, like I'm talking
Yeah.
95 in a
Yes.
65 or something, when I'm going 80 maybe,
Right.
it's a little jarring, like just
Totally.
knowing the
Yeah.
erratic behavior. And this was crazy because, as I told you, you see her kind of rounding a corner, quote unquote,
Right.
normally. I mean, like any good driver would do,
Right.
took the turn pretty easily. So when she crashes the car, she survives, which is
Right.
incredible that she survives, by the way. I
Unbelievable in a
mean,
way.
I know
Yeah.
that they say that the worst place to be in a car is like in the passenger seat. And I don't know if it's because the steering wheel isn't there, maybe it's just, but the fact that they both died and she didn't, there's some
Yeah.
like, this is not proven in court, but I'm just saying some weird like karmic
I know.
juju, like she
Yeah.
had to live to suffer the
Oh.
repercussions of whatever this was.
Right.
And in investigating the vehicle, prosecutors argued in the case that the vehicle data showed that the accelerator was fully depressed. There was no evidence of braking before impact, helping convince the judge that the crash was intentional. And that's the thing, because in the doc, she claims to have this medical issue of which she sort of blacks out and doesn't really know. And it's just convenient that she would black out at this exact time or have a condition under which it would cause her to have full acceleration, like
Yeah.
something. I mean, psychotic break, maybe, I guess.
Here's the thing for me about if we're going to just go jump right into like what was actually happening in that stretch, let's just break it all down as much as we want. I agree with you 100%. The other thing that I would think would be happening if she is having a medical event, and let's say the other two in the car also are aware of
Let your
this,
foot off the pedal.
there would be some foot off the pedal, and I feel like one of the other two would be at least in some degree trying to
Able to,
drive,
right.
drive the car on the street to a degree. Now, would it flip? Would it hit a tree? All those things I think are also a possibility that could have ended in tragedy as well. But the fact that the pathway was so straight without any obstacles tells me that she was avoiding,
Disturbance.
that she was avoiding those major things. And to me, if you're having a medical event, then you're probably not even really aware of the things that you may or may not be hitting. So I feel like because of that, it seems extremely intentional, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Are
I
you
think
there? Yeah.
that certain I don't think that helps her case at all for sure.
Right.
I mean, and in the doc, I originally when I was watching it, and you see the parents talk about each of their respective kids, Davion
Right.
and Dom and Mackenzie, you just feel like this is a tragic accident, like what really went down, and then you kind of dive deeper in their relationship and the control, and then you see and. The text messages they were sending each other. And then you see her in prison. And she
Right.
must have thought that that she was going to come across innocent in some sort of way. But it only made her case that much worse. Like I guess we're not questioning guilt, right? We're questioning intent. But throughout the entire doc, I went from, I don't know what her intent was. Maybe this was something crazy. To she knew what exactly she was doing, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And especially because there was absolutely no letting up on the pedal at all. I mean, not
Right.
even questioning what she's doing. I also found it fascinating that cars have a like black
Black box.
box.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that too. I know that like Teslas do. I know you and I drive a Tesla, but I didn't know like I think she was driving like a Toyota or something. I'm like, oh, even
Yeah, I
Toyotas have
didn't.
them. Yeah.
I
My
didn't know that.
one of the things I was hoping to hear in this documentary that I didn't hear was where were they? Like, why did she turn down that street? Was that the normal path home to where were they going? Did anybody know where they were going? Like,
Well, she picked them up at like 5 a.m. or they left this house at
yeah.
5 again. Again, she wasn't intoxicated. So that's not really a response. She didn't have drugs in her system, at least I think what they said in the doc. I think it was like their neighborhood or whatever, because it was by, I think, the school. But, I read one theory. Now, granted, I'm so torn about this because you hear theories online of what people think, but no one really knows the truth. And
No
obviously
one
she's guilty.
knows,
She's in prison. So, she's serving 15 to life back to back, so it's just, or at least, sorry, simultaneously, which is really
I was
helpful.
just
So
going to
she could
say
get out in
concurrent,
15
yeah.
years. But I read one theory essentially that was like, she obviously has some sort of like mental health issue, anger issue, control issue, something. She was really volatile. They were in a volatile relationship and she woke them up. That basically Dom was trying to break up with Mackenzie for a long time, was friends with Davion. I'm sure Davion, as his friend, was, this is the theory I'm hearing online, was convincing Dom to break up with this girl because she's whatever. And Mackenzie found out about it, woke them up from this party early in the morning. So she knew that they would be tired and very sleepy, and then kind of like rounded the corner and made it a straight shot into something that she knew she could do. So it was going to be like a murder suicide. Like, well, if I can't have you, then no one else will type of thing.
Yeah, which is the thing, by the way. I know that might sound
Possible.
like it sounds like a Hollywood script or something, but we've talked about a handful of conversations and cases where that has been the situation. The person cannot accept they're being broken up with. It sounds like Dom had tried to break up with her, like you had mentioned. There's even footage, I believe, of her attempting to break into his house because he wouldn't let her in
Right.
after whatever. I'm a little bit torn. Tell me what you think about this too. Like, I'm a little torn about using that footage and this quote unquote evidence to build a theory that she was th what you had just described for this case. Because yes, you should know what's going on with them, right? Like, you should have an understanding of what may have led to an intentional situation here, but at the same time, they are so young. A lot of these behaviors, your frontal lobe has not developed yet. Like,
Right.
I have a 20-year-old that's very, very, very close to me in my life right now. I've seen this behavior. I question, not her, I'm saying, but like, the culture of being a young person that we see throughout this documentary between the friends and everyone else. And, it's foreign to us millennials, and it's kind of like, what the hell's going on over there? But I don't also think, and I know we've talked about this before, that doesn't make you a murderer either, So I was a little torn on like what we should be including in a trial versus what should, and they make another point too. I think before the sentencing hearing, we see the prosecution highlight that she dressed up as Playboi Carti for Halloween, which was sort
Yeah,
of
that like what I liked about the doc is at least it showed some of her friends and not just necessarily her enemies. Like
That's
there was
true.
one girl to be like, everyone was kind of doing this to pinpoint anything in social media specifically. I think is probably not the best way to go, or at least it's not the most convincing case. That being said, understanding the text messages, I think, and their relationship and creating this profile of this person who isn't necessarily, bad because they're dressing up as
Playboi
Playboi
Carti,
Cardi or whatever. But, they did a similar thing with Casey Anthony, right? Where it was like, oh, she's out, this was kind of pre-social media, but like, oh, she's out
Yes, good
partying
point.
for 30 days. Is and didn't call. And so they're creating this character profile. Partying does not make you a murderer either, but partying while your kid's missing at least gives sort of a bad mom vibe. And I
Oh,
think
100%,
with Mackenzie, it was really the same thing and her carelessness. What I actually think hurts, and I'm curious to think what you think of her prison interview, but the first thing in the doc that really made me be like, huh? Was when her parents are describing letting her live at Dom's at 17. Now, it's not that 17-year-olds aren't capable of having relationships or even living with a partner, but just the callousness of her, which it was like, yeah, sure, you can go live over at this 19-year-old's like apartment your last year of high school, seemed odd to me. Everyone has a different parental circumstance. It struck me as odd, and it made me kind of think about what kind of, is Mackenzie the type that just wants everything and her parents just say yes? Because that seems like a request from a 17-year-old to go live at their 19-year-old's apartment.
And if I can further characterize her, based on what you just said, or is she the type that is so uncontrollable? Because I got those vibes from her and her
True.
behaviors that they can't even say yes or no to her doing that. Like,
She's just doing it.
I don't think her parents have like a control over her whatsoever at this point, just to be clear.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think it was clear in the, and we talked about this with Vinny, like in the trial, as the mom is sort of giving a character witness of her daughter, doesn't really show remorse for the two people that lost their kid. Your daughter was still behind the wheel. There's no doubt that she's guilty of that. She's, whether it's murder one or manslaughter or whatever, we're talking about, okay, the devil is in the details, but she did the thing.
Also, very stupid of her lawyers to let the parent, to let the mom do that. I mean, that just really made them look horrible and self-centered and just focused on her instead of the, like you just said, instead of the victims. Just a very bad decision in that regard. I completely
Yeah.
agree. I remember you mentioning to Vinny in our previous interview with him that the parents really stuck out to you. Was it something else beyond those two things that you mentioned, or how do you think the parents are
Well, those two
involved?
things I thought were bad. I just, normally when you watch these docs, if their kid's doing something obscene or their kid's doing something almost unbelievable, there's a little of like shock value in it. And, like, oh my God, I didn't know my kid. I didn't know what was happening behind closed doors, whether they're murdering someone else, hurting themselves, sexual assault, whatever it is. There's a genuine like shock and awe in parents finding out what their children are doing. And I didn't get that from the parents. I felt like they knew exactly who she was and they were like totally cool with it and made a million excuses for her. And I just kept thinking, like, even if your kid is innocent of not intending to kill them, had some sort of psychotic break or whatever they're trying to argue, I would think there would be some sensitivity around the fact that she still did it and the fact that she's responsible for the deaths of two people, and there just wasn't anything like that, and it just was all about proving innocence as opposed to understanding why the guilt was happening in the first place. And you need balance of both, I think.
And this was that moment that you had mentioned in a previous episode where the judge interjected and was like, "Oh, because you think that this is okay, or because you think that they don't matter."
I've never seen that.
No, I
Like when
know, it's
someone's giving
crazy.
like a testimony or like whatever, like, a character, whatever, or just speaking for her, I've never seen a judge being like interrupting. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought the doc at least like covered that well of covering other people's, it was good that they interviewed the parents. What did you think when Mackenzie was being interviewed? In like when she gets on the mic in prison, because I actually wasn't expecting that to happen. I didn't know to expect that.
This was her first ever interview, I believe, from prison. So that's interesting in and of itself. I thought it was very, I don't know if rehearsed is the right way to say it, but I could tell that she knew what legal things that she should say, the intent, and I think she even kind of recaps it at the end of her interview. You kind of see this, like she's talking to a producer on the side and she's like, "Did that sound good? I just want to reiterate, my intent, and
Her
I
lawyer or
blacked out,"
whatever,
or
yeah.
whoever it was. So to me, it just felt like very like, okay, we got what you needed to say. Let's put that in the documentary. And there's been a lot of speculation online, or not speculation, but criticism online, that this documentary leaned very heavily in her favor. But I don't know. I think it
Don't
kind
know how
of,
that would be. That's not
I
what I'm
think
saying.
that was the attempt. Exactly. I think that was the attempt, but by the end of the documentary, I don't think many people walk away from this thinking, oh, she should be innocent. She's innocent. She should be out of jail. Like, no, that's not at all what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think she should certainly serve the 15, right? Because she's serving 15 years to
Yeah.
life,
Well, that's, I think,
currently.
so. I
She's
think
up for
that's
parole in what, 2037 or whatever.
37. I'm like, two people, like, and then, the judge is ruling on
Well,
intent here. So, like, how did she only get 15?
I think that's why I think it's kind of crazy. I mean, I understand why she did it because she wants to, like, if she is actually innocent, this would have been a good platform because it was super popular. But she's not innocent. Like, no matter what, like,
Right.
she still killed these people.
That's what I
So
mean.
unless you are completely fucking buttoned up in your remorse and response to all of this, then these next 15 years, of which you're going to be mostly serving it in your 20s. If she got out in 15 years, she's like 33 or whatever the math is
Something
on
like
that.
that.
Like, she's super young. She could live the rest of her life.
Well, one of the victims' families said this. They're like, that she could get out, have children, and have a happy family and a happy
She
life. Meanwhile,
could.
we don't have our children,
Right. And she could. So that's my point is, like, if she handled this really correctly and hit all the points of feeling apologetic and understanding and being like, I should be here, you know, like, if I like I should be in prison and understanding and taking accountability, then 15 years, in those 15 years, if you are a good prisoner, you know, to your point previously about being very young and being very erratic and the social media playing against her, you know, like, this could serve her well. I mean, one of the interesting things about Vinny, talking to Vinny, that people forget is, like, prison, it doesn't do this mostly, but I think the goal should be rehabilitation of the person, right? Like,
Sure, but
yes,
I
to
mean,
have
is
people who are
anyone
never
ever
going to get
gonna?
out, but the ones that aren't serving life, when they go out in society, it doesn't serve us well to continue them to be rapists and assaulters and robbers.
For
Like, we should
sure.
teach them how something, right? Like, give them responsibility of some sort. So, you know, obviously in the trial, which also doesn't help because this reiterates this to the public, investigators highlighted evidence that Mackenzie visited the crash area days before the collision, a detail prosecutors presented as possible evidence of planning. However, that seems like a stretch because I seem to remember, it's been a few weeks, but I seem to remember the crash site being somewhere like where they would, like, hang out. Like, it was like by the school, wasn't it?
So
Like,
that
right.
sounds right. Yeah, I can't remember specifically right
So,
now, but
you know, her visiting it, it's like, I don't know if
listen.
that, yeah, maybe,
I
like,
drive by
maybe.
a fire station every day. Does that mean I'm visiting it every single day? I don't
Exactly. So that, like, there's definitely room for
know.
doubt there. But obviously, Judge Nancy Russo, as we've mentioned, not a jury. They didn't opt for a jury trial. They opt for a judge, found Mackenzie guilty of multiple charges, including murder, and sentenced her to 15 years to life in prison. So she's kind of serving it now. Yeah.
Do you think a jury trial would have been a better situation for her, and would she have been found guilty in a jury trial?
You know,
Who
it's interesting,
knows?
and I've thought about that. I think we discussed a little bit of that with
Yeah, we
Vinny.
did.
I mean, I'm assuming her lawyer directed her
Of
to
course.
have it be one person, because then all you have to do is convince one person as
Well,
opposed
that's
to
fair.
12. But I don't know,
I
because
don't know
this
either.
this this there's so much swirling about this documentary that you'd think with 12 jurors, there might be one that would be like, I don't want the social media to play against my kids, so I'm not going to have it play against them. So maybe, and it's hard to say. I certainly think the judge made the right decision,
I think so
at
too.
least so
And I mean,
far.
even Mackenzie in her interview in this documentary says, I'm guilty of, I was responsible for a tragic car accident. Like, I was the person behind the wheel. Like, she seemed to take some accountability in that way, but it definitely felt like she was focusing on the intent here. And she's claiming she blacked out and had a medical event. So we'll never know exactly what was happening in those moments.
Yeah, and listen, we know that there's other episodes that kind of pose even more, like, a different light than the crash did. And we've compiled those, and I also want to go over some of the headlines that have been kind of, like, hitting the public since this all broke down, but you can go with the first one.
So there are some episodes of Killer Cases on Hulu that shine some more light, and EW.com did a sort of recap of some of these details that are part of the Hulu stuff, part of the crash, and I think other
Right.
kind of testifying documents that we know happened. So one of the things is that Mackenzie allegedly had asked her mother to tell police that she had a seizure, which is not mentioned in the crash.
Nope.
Investigators cited a hospital recording in which prosecutors believe Mackenzie, speaking in a coded language with her mother, suggested claiming she had suffered a seizure. This became significant because her defense later argued that a medical episode caused the crash. I
Okay,
think
here's
E.
my.
I
Sorry,
was
go
just
ahead.
going to say, no,
Sorry.
I was just going to say the EW.com report says that the coded language was something like pig Latin, apparently.
She has the. So the recordings also, multiple people have recorded on this, her calls with her mother, and they're talking, I guess, pig Latin. I mean, like, I know pig Latin's kind of like reverse the last and the first, it wouldn't be hard to figure out what they're saying if you spoke it. This didn't seem entirely like pig Latin, at least from what I've heard, I'm hearing, but it was hard to say. But a bunch of their phone calls have come out in prison, which is also kind of crazy that their phone calls are all recorded and then can be released. I don't know how people get a hold of these things, but also talking in that secret language, which seems extremely nefarious. The reason that this is stupid, meaning that it would never be, is if she had a seizure, she would have let up on the brake.
100%. You don't press down 100% on the accelerator.
Full throttle. Like, you just
There's
wouldn't do
no,
that, or someone would be able to take hold of the wheel at least, and they wouldn't have just crashed in there. So obviously I don't doubt that she said this, but obviously this is a person who, if she did say it, if allegedly, is guilty as holy hell. I mean, if she's asking her mother to say that she had a seizure, not only does the evidence prove that she really didn't, but you're like creating something out of nothing to make it seem great. So this is, none of this shit feels good for me.
Yeah, I agree. Another, we talked about GPS data where she was allegedly in the location prior to this, about 3 days before. She was also reportedly the only occupant wearing a seatbelt. Mackenzie survived the crash and was wearing a seatbelt while Dom and Davion were not. And some observers have pointed this fact out as a notable detail, given that the prosecution's theory is that she did this intentionally. So maybe she. The allegation here might be that she told them not to wear their seatbelt on this quick little trip.
Yeah, that seems weird too. When I saw this too, I just thought that was weird, only because like they're grown men. Why would she be like, "Don't wear your seatbelt"? You'd be like,
I
"What?"
mean,
I
how
mean,
do
kids, I
you?
think in general don't wear seatbelts. This
No,
could have just been something people do. They thought it was a short trip. It's 5 a.m. Who
They're
are they running into?
tired.
And that could have just been what it was. And so maybe she wore her seatbelt knowing she was going to go into this. Okay. But I don't know, it doesn't really show. She's not like she forced these guys not to wear their seatbelts. So to me, that's just kind of like moot. It doesn't that point doesn't really like affect my mindset overall.
I agree.
Because you know what? Slamming 100 miles into a brick wall with a seatbelt, I mean, maybe they would have survived, but I don't know. Like, she did, but I don't know if that was just whatever, freak accident. Dominic Russo's sister accused Mackenzie's mother of misleading the family. Now, according to Russo's sister, Dom was the boyfriend. So it's his sister. The family was told Mackenzie remained unconscious for days after the crash. She later questioned whether that information was accurate and suggested it may have affected early perceptions of the case. Maybe. I certainly think it garners more sympathy knowing that she's, if she walked away without a scratch, I think it would look pretty bad, of course. And I think there wouldn't really be a question of intent there. So making it seem like and she obviously walked away with injury. You can't do that without injury. But I certainly think creating a narrative under which, you have a neck brace and for longer than maybe you need creates sympathy.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's interesting. And then we'll round out some of these thoughts here from this article. Evidence of remorse was largely absent from this documentary. The claim goes that, court records indicate that Mackenzie allegedly told medical personnel that she felt responsible for her boyfriend's death and later sent messages expressing guilt, grief, and regret to Dominic's family members. None of this was mentioned in the crash, so that's
Nope.
interesting. Russo's Dom's brother, Angelo, also testified that he received a text message from Mackenzie on August 6, 2022, that read, quote, "Would you be able to go in Dom's room and grab some photos from his desk of me and him so I could put them into the casket so he can be with me forever," end quote.
I
None
mean,
of
that
that
certainly
was
sounds
mentioned.
crazy. Like, I certainly think looking back with what we know, and it's just funny because right now in Bravo, we're going through like a summer house drama where like everyone's rewatching the season from last summer and then assuming a tint in something that happened now. But certainly saying like, so he can be with me forever is definitely like
Yeah,
a
I mean,
little jarring.
I agree with you. I just feel like, again, she's just so young. And like, I'm not saying it's like an excuse,
Right.
but like, I
No,
just feel
kids will
like
be like, I love you
young.
forever, you know,
Yes. And
like, yes.
they do touch on that in this documentary. And I think they do a decent job at being like, this is what kids do these days. Like, it might sound crazy to most of the adult world, but like, this is just the lifestyle they were living, and we can be judgmental about it. But when you haven't fully lived your life to appreciate life the same way that like
True.
you and I have, Darren, you're just older and wiser. And I just keep going back to my own experiences with a 20-year-old that's in my family, where I'm
You're
explaining
not
a lot of
wrong.
life situations to him and trying to teach him, because you and I, in how we like developed and grew and learned about the life around us is very different than I think a lot of 17-year-olds. So
And
I
also,
just that's all my thoughts.
no, I think that's I think that's an important point that I don't think that you can pick apart everything she's done, which normal kids are
No.
doing too,
Yes.
and say this is evidence that she's guilty. I think what you can say is
Yeah.
she's not like everybody else because she got into a
Yeah.
car and drove 100 miles per hour and took it to the next level. But yeah, I
Right.
mean, like, I remember being 15, 14, 15, not too much younger than Mackenzie, and feeling like, you know, I remember there was like a snowstorm. I couldn't go see my boyfriend camp, something. And I remember feeling like, I remember the exact feeling, you know, of just feeling like my life's over.
Devastation. Yeah,
Just
exactly.
devastation. This is it, you know, everything matters. And so obviously I think being able to regulate those emotions gets easier as you get older and you learn a lot, and it's
As
harder
your
as a
brain
child. But a
develops,
lot of people are able to do that and understand that, like, it's not like I'm devastated, therefore I'm going to go kill someone.
kill someone,
And I
right?
think on top of how what seems and what we're assuming she was parented like, that's what was so interesting, and her background and how she grew up, and the text messages that we see from Dom and her paint this picture. Unfortunately, Davion Flanagan's life and legacy received limited attention kind of across the board. And following his death, Davion's parents created a scholarship fund in his honor to help aspiring barbers attend school, reflecting the career goals he had before the crash, which I thought was just, you know, lemonade out of lemons.
Oh my
Like,
God, yeah.
you
And I
know.
actually found the GoFundMe, and they've raised $174,000 in his name. So something tells me they're going to send a lot of barbers to school, which is such a, kind of a nice little, not a silver
It's a
lining
way to give
necessarily,
back.
but yeah, keep his name alive,
Yeah.
as they say.
It's a way to give back. It like it's just it's I just left that documentary and the stories about her, even continuously, like feeling kind of icky
Oh,
about the
yeah.
whole thing.
Yeah,
And
same.
two lives are lost recklessly and selfishly. And yeah, I mean, like, nothing's gonna bring them back. Like, it's, you know, I was at CrimeCon recently, and I was hosting a panel with Barbara Butcher and Laura and Kelly Siegler. And Kelly Siegler was saying that she hates the word closure because for a lot of these people, they don't get closure. You know, Savannah Guthrie doesn't have closure. Like, what is closure? Because even when you get closure,
What is that?
like their kid's still dead or their parents still gone or whatever. And so she's like, she prefers justice. And then this woman in the audience who came up who had lost a couple of people in her family was like, I don't even like justice because in my case, I don't have justice because we can't find my killer or we don't know. I can't remember the exact case, but she was like, I can't even remember the words, but she was like, the word I really like is just like having answers and like knowledge, and like knowledge is power. And with this,
I
like
love that.
the there's only one person alive right now who knows, and that person is an unreliable witness. And I think it should be noted that there's no evidence that Mackenzie Shrilla's family had any connection to the filmmakers at all. Because the documentary gives Mackenzie and her parents significant screen time, some viewers have questioned whether the film leans too heavily toward their perspective, while others argue it presents multiple sides of a highly controversial case. I mean, I think I think that it definitely gave them airtime, but I think that airtime didn't help them.
No, that's what I was saying at the top of the show. Like, this didn't work out, I think, the way that they thought it might. And if anything, it just kind of makes Mackenzie look a little more guilty, frankly. So, sorry to tell you. Well, Jared, that was a good recap. I thought it was a good this documentary overall, I thought was pretty good. I felt like it was just a recap. There was no like breaking new information or something that would lead to to another trial. I know they mentioned that some of the exchanges and the text messages that were presented in trial could lead to a new trial, but that appeal got denied apparently. So there's nothing much to say there right now. But yeah, interesting documentary. We know a lot of you have watched it. Please let us know what you think. Do you agree or disagree with anything that we said? Hit us up at J Thrasher or Carpe Darren
And
or in our Facebook group or on Patreon. Yeah, what were we gonna say?
I just want to say there's a lot of interviews out there with Mackenzie's old roommate in prison,
Oh yeah.
about her having girlfriends and looking very
Oh.
different. And she has like a different, she like code switched from being on the documentary to being in prison and how she presents herself in prison and everything. I don't know what that means. I like it's hard to know if anything's true. I kind of believe it. Also, I think you do what you got to do to survive in probably prison. So I'm not
Yeah.
knocking her necessarily for
Right.
doing what you got to do. But the more headlines that keep coming out about this, I think the worse it makes her look.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And yeah, let us know what you guys think. Or should we jump into some listener shout outs now as we round out this episode, Darren? Okay, yeah, Darren, our longtime friend of the show, Christina, wrote in the Facebook group, quote, "Darren, we have one thing in common when it comes to sports teams, and it's the Knicks. So just wanted to come in here and say, let's go Knicks. I'll be at the parade, and I hope to see you there. So I needed to ask you, Darren, or do you have any plans to attend the Knicks parade? I think it's tomorrow as we record this. I know Carissa, Blanca, and some others were very disappointed to hear that you were a Knicks fan in our Facebook group. So any reaction there?"
Listen, you like I happen to have the best fandom in the world and I know the teams that are the greatest. Listen, for people who are Spurs fans, everyone wanted the Knicks to win. This was Cinderella story. A 6'2" Jalen Brunson shouldn't beat a 7'5" Wembanyama, and he did, and they got taken and the Knicks deserved it. And nothing made me miss New York more. Whether I'm going to the
I
parade, I heard there's going to be
know.
like a million people there and super humid and it's very early. I've been traveling a bunch. I am in New York, but whether I'm
You
going to make it
are, you
down there,
have to go.
maybe it's certainly
Maybe.
historic, but honestly, I've never missed New York more. And being here just in the city, seeing all the Knicks, the
Yeah.
fandom has been just so
Yeah.
great. And 53 years. I mean,
It's amazing.
53 years. Like, we weren't
Yeah.
supposed to even be in the finals. And the fact that we won and had such an amazing playoff run. This
It was
is,
unbelievable.
I was saying to someone the other day, like, for once, for like 6, 7 weeks, no one talked about politics. No one talked about Israel, Palestine, Trump, Mamdani, the Iran war, oil, gas prices, the economy, everything was just Knicks in five, Knicks in four.
Knicks and
Like
four,
you were
yeah.
watching it. Like
I was
everyone,
watching it. I
you
was
know, like you were
excited.
texting me about it. Like
I
I
watched the
wouldn't get you
last
to
three
watch a
games.
fucking NBA game. You don't watch an NBA game.
Absolutely. I happen to be, we'll talk more about this on our next NMR, but Darren and I were together in person, you guys, in New York. I had to be there for some work and I stayed an extra day, but I was there on, I believe it was the night of game two. Was that the Friday before? I was there the Friday before. Game two or three. It wasn't the one that Trump went to, so I think it was game two. But
Game two.
And I was like so corny. I'm like, are you here? Like I was, you know, I my hotel was in Times Square. I had to walk by Madison Square Garden. The Empire State Building was in Knicks colors. And I just thought of you because I mean, all these years I've known you've been to be such a huge Knicks fan. And so I sent Darren the corniest text message you've ever seen, which was just a photo of the Empire State Building lit up in Knicks colors. I'm like, we've been here long enough
I'm
that I
like,
think you would,
dubbitch.
yeah, I figured you would just love the like old, like kind of dad
Yeah.
intention behind that. So we'll talk more about Knicks, I think, on
We're going to talk about it
NMR.
more on
Yeah, we have a
NMR
lot
because,
more.
yes, he saw Snoopy. That's all you guys need to know. That's all
That's
you
all you
guys
need
need.
to know. That's
That's all I
right.
need to know. His life is
Yeah.
forever changed. Catherine in our Facebook group asks, did we ever get sponsored by Taco Bell? Fair point.
Good
Not
question.
yet.
I do
Maybe
think we
future.
reached out to them at one point, but no, nothing official came through. Catherine, maybe you need to text
Start
or
tweeting them or
tag, yeah,
something.
like tag them and tag us and say, hello, we need some Gordita Crunches
Thank you.
to their homes immediately. So actually, guys, this is on you, not us. So we'll.
But you know, I don't even order the gordita anymore. Did
Yeah,
you
what
know
do you
that?
get nowadays?
Three ground beef hard shell tacos.
Ground beef. I can't do ground beef, but I will do my favorite order
Ground
from
beef.
my favorite order from there right now is the grilled cheese burrito. Have you had it? Oh my
No.
God. It's so good. It's like I'm sure it's 2,000 calories, but it's
But
just
it's
the most
like,
delicious thing. Yeah,
I
it's the
agree
most
with you.
delicious thing. Anyway, like we said, we'll be back next week with a new NMR, recap of us hanging out together in New York City. And some of you can already see some of that stuff. We've been posting videos and photos on Patreon, so you can go support the show there and get all the extra goodies that you did not see yet. We haven't even posted it on our personal social media yet. That's how serious we are. Yeah.
Also, I
Yeah.
want to know, and I know it's a few
Oh.
parts, but I want to know if we should cover
Oh,
the Michael
God.
Jackson verdict
I thought
documentary on
about that.
Netflix. I haven't
Yeah.
watched it yet. It's on my list and I'm gonna
Okay.
watch it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is an interesting case. Also, my
Yeah.
dad wants us to cover Leopold and Loeb, so I'm gonna
Well,
tell Megan.
if Dad wants us to do it, we have to do it.
Papa Carp
So
gets what Papa Carp
that's right.
wants.
Papa Carp. That's right. All
That's
right.
it.
We will see you guys next time and see you later.
Bye.
Bye.